Let's play some cards.
From Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel, this is The Final Table, starring Team Poker Stars pro Dennis Phillips with Paul Harrah's. Now, from the Harrah's St. Louis Poker Room, here are Dennis and Paul on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Welcome to the final table. Welcome to the Harrah's Poker Room, where live cash game poker and tournament action still goes on. A bad beat jackpot here of almost $217,000 that got built up big time during the World Series of Poker circuit event that ended last Tuesday here in town. And then I was all excited after last week's show because we were finally going to get Pot Limit Omaha cash games on television, and we get a full week of that, and then the bottom drops out when online poker took a huge hit on Friday when the United States Department of Justice and the FBI shut down the biggest online poker rooms in the world, Poker Stars and Full Tilt and Absolute Poker and Ultimate Bet, no longer open for business for U.S. players. They are still doing business elsewhere, but they are not doing business here. There are a lot of repercussions, and we're going to try to answer as many of the questions as we possibly can. In many cases, we'll be offering you nothing more than educated guesses on what is to come for people who have been playing online, people who want to play online, and all the affiliated businesses as well. I'll be joined in a couple of minutes by Eric Morris, who's the publisher of Bluff Magazine, and Donnie Peters, who is in charge of the live reporting for PokerNews.com. Also, attorney Josh Schindler, the poker lawyer, who has been on this show several times in the past, will come on and talk about the legal aspects of this. But first, let me bring in my partner, Dennis Phillips, a Team Poker Stars pro, who is in Las Vegas and probably can't say all that much. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Well, thanks for the lead-in, Paul, and you're absolutely right. I have to apologize to listeners. I would love to get in a conversation right now. But with my position in that, I'd better keep mum for a little bit until everything kind of is brought forth. There's a lot of information that has not come out yet. A lot of things, decisions that have not been made that are being made as we speak. Hopefully by next week, we'll have the freedom to sit down here and just really, really tear into this. I really appreciate the two guys you have on there now. They can give you some keen insight. You guys can discuss the ramifications. I think this is horrendous for poker in the short run, at least. I think it's horrendous for the players that make a living online. I think it's horrendous for the freedom that every one of us should enjoy here in the U.S. The fact that gaming of some sort is legal in almost all 50 states, the fact that lotteries are run state after state after state, the fact that I would be willing to bet that there's not 10% of Congress that hasn't played some poker. And for them to come out here and do this and unite us, this freedom is, well, I better be quiet. I get very vocal on this and very adamant because it's just wrong.
Yeah, I would bet you that there are some U.S. attorneys who had to delete their online poker accounts from their computers last Friday when their colleagues in the Southern District of New York decided to take this action and file these indictments. The question I get asked both by our listeners and by friends of ours who I've seen in the last week or so coming in here to play in some of the live games in St. Louis is, what does this mean for Dennis? And I tell them, and I think you would probably tell them, we're not sure.
Well, that's absolutely right. A lot of things are up in the air right now, including items concerning me. And I just don't know right now, and I just don't have the freedom to really even get in-depth and discuss it. I don't want people to overreact, though. This too shall pass, as they say. We'll find a way around this that will work. Poker is too much fun, too enjoyable, too big, too many people play it. It's just not going to end. That's all there is to it.
I did have one other idea for a business project that you and I can engage in.
Okay.
I think we buy a nice big apartment building just over the border in Canada and turn it into Panorama Towers North. We offer free Wi-Fi and reduced rates for online poker players because then they can come up there and play to their heart's content.
You'd have a waiting list as long as your arm.
All right, I'm going to let you go because, the last thing we want to do is cross a legal line for you. So I will talk to you. We'll have you back on the show next week. Hopefully by then you'll be able to say a little bit more and we'll know a little bit more about all of the situation, okay?
Well, that is, and I really appreciate this. And like I said, I think you've got a couple of great guys on there that can discuss this. They've got the freedom to be able to do it. And if I'm on the show with you, it could cause a problem. So, again, my apologies to the listeners. My apology to you, Paul. Hopefully next week we'll be back, and like I said, we can really tear into this.
All right. There's Dennis Phillips live from Las Vegas here on the Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. And, of course, our podcasts, which remain available via iTunes and on Dennis's website, thechipleader.com. So now let me bring in two other members of the poker media, Eric Morris, who is the publisher of Bluff Magazine. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hey, Paul. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. And Donnie Peters is also here. He's the live reporting manager for PokerNews.com. Hi, Donnie.
How are you?
Good. The last time the three of us were together was in a very fun poker game in the Caesars Palace Poker Room just before the NBC Heads Up a few weeks ago, and we had some great stories about that. But I don't think anybody in the poker world has been in a good mood for the last couple of days. And so, Eric, I want to start with you. You tell me, in your view, what do these indictments of the heads of PokerStars and Full Tilt Poker and Absolute Poker / Ultimate Bet, as well as some of the payment processing people, what does that mean for the future of online poker?
Well, I mean, people aren't going to stop playing poker right now. You're seeing some of the fringe sites getting a lot of new signups right now, you know, the Lock Pokers, the Carbons, the Cakes, and places like that. So poker's not going anywhere. You have to remember that the deal is people, these guys didn't get arrested for or indicted for having creating poker sites. They got arrested for the money laundering and for basically fraud at the banks, like basically buying up banks, buying banks, and so forth, which is blatantly illegal. You can't process like that. And that's the biggest problem. So, I mean, initially when I heard what was going on, I was like everybody else. I was like really kicked off. I was pissed, you know. I'm like, what's going to happen to my company? You know, and you know, I had a lot of mixed emotions, which I still do. But, you know, and I start looking at it, it's like these guys acted somewhat recklessly. And all these guys are my friends. I've known all the people, you know, the head honchos of all the sites for, you know, as long as they've been in business. And, you know, I do call them my friends, but this was reckless. No one really knew about this, about how they got processed. And no one really asked questions because, you know, we were able to get our money out or our money in that case. So, I mean, I'm a little upset at, you know, at the sites right now, just because, you know, this could have been avoided. It was too reckless. And, you know, they should have known this was coming. I mean, the DOJ has been, you know, investigating these sites for, you know, several years now. And I think around a year ago, they said they were going to go after them. So that would have been a clue, my first clue to try to make things a little more kosher, so to speak.
Donnie, what's your take? What does this mean for online poker in your view?
Well, in the short term, I would say that this is definitely a negative. You know, players are stuck with money online. Nobody can get any money out. Two biggest sites, Stars and Full Tilt, have both pulled out of the U.S. market, which is, you know, huge for them, huge for online pokers that make their living at this. But in the long run, I think this will be a good thing for poker, and eventually legislation will get passed. It will regulate online poker in the U.S., and, you know, everything will come back full circle and work out in the end.
All right, so how long, Donnie, is eventually, if somebody does have money in these accounts, and, you know, we've got players who might have $20 or $30 or several hundred dollars, and some who might have a couple hundred thousand dollars. We have a kid here from St. Louis, a young guy who made $450,000 in the Sunday Millions on Stars a couple of weeks ago and probably still has that money on there. How long will it be before they can get that money out and access it so that they can use it to play poker or do whatever they want with their lives?
Well, I would say it's going to take several months to a year, you know, citing the NetTeller case from a few years ago where it took approximately 8 months for people to be able to pull their money off of NetTeller. You know, it's basically due to these sites are going to, you know, quote-unquote behave as much as possible, you know, and try and not tarnish their reputation for when they are eventually allowed to come back into the U.S. market. So I would say about 8 months, maybe a year, before people can start getting their money offline, withdrawing, you know, transferring to other players and whatnot. So right now it's just frozen indefinitely, and that's a horrible thing for people that are trying to make their money from this.
Now, Eric, do you think that some online pros who are based here in the United States will pick up and move to Canada or Mexico or elsewhere in the world where they can access their accounts and continue trying to make a living online there?
I think a lot of people probably move to Vancouver because it's kind of the closest and nicest area you can move to and not as expensive as the likes of Europe. I think that's going to happen. It's a very distinct possibility. Hopefully it won't happen. Have to happen, but I mean, poker as we know it has changed. It's changed probably forever, whether it's good or bad. I think there's going to be a lot of people moving out there, over across the border. But you know, you have to remember, I see this as an opportunity, not just for us, but for everybody involved in poker. As the playing field is now even, you look at Full Tilt and PokerStars, and they bought every piece of advertising out there, whether it's TV, periodicals, everything. And they got premium positions, and the smaller sites couldn't really compete with that. So now they're able to compete. They're not going to have to, the prices aren't going to be so high, and they're going to be able to get their name out there quicker than, they would have. So, we were starting to get a lot of calls to people who want to finally advertise with us. And, realistically, Full Tilt and PokerStars is only 20% of our business. So it's not going to bankrupt us anything. In fact, this could help us in the long run, because I think it's going to bring new advertisers into the magazine. So I guess I kind of went off on the tangent a little bit, but it's kind of
no, actually, you lead me right into the next thing, because all three of us are in the poker media. Our show was sponsored in part by Poker Stars. We're also, of course, sponsored by Harrah's, so we had both brick and mortar and online poker as a part of the show. Poker Stars no longer one of our sponsors. This is our first week in 116 shows that they haven't been a part of the show. I don't know if you guys are pulling the ads off of Poker News, Donnie and Eric, if you're pulling them off of the Bluff site and out of the printed magazine, but what is going to be the impact not only on the poker media that we're talking about, the reporting media, but also what happens to high-stakes poker and Poker After Dark and the World Series of Poker on TV and all the rest of the poker TV shows?
Well, the big shows you're going to see, World Series is still going to be broadcast on ESPN. It was broadcast on ESPN before, the big .com type of boom, so it's going to continue. But, the other shows like the Poker Stars Big Game or Poker After Dark, I just don't see those shows really. Not that they can't survive, it's just what's the point now? Because it's really, these guys pay for that TV time anyways, just to basically use it as an advertising platform. In terms of, magazines and stuff, I think you're going to see some of the peripheral magazines go out of business. Unfortunately, because it's never good, because, this is kind of a trickle-down effect where, there's not going to be any big winners to begin with. And long-term, hopefully there will, but there's still going to be a lot of people looking for work that were involved with these companies. So, a lot of websites who rely on affiliate money for them from Full Tilt and Poker Stars, well, they'll get their last couple checks, and that's basically going to be it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens unless people can start really making money off of some of the smaller sites. I don't know. It's I feel really good about where we're at, but some other people don't look at my enthusiasm so much.
Donnie, tell me about this view from Poker News viewpoint.
Well, from Poker News viewpoint, I would agree with Eric in that, we're also business as usual on our end, and we feel very comfortable with where we stand. We still plan to, cover live events across the globe, specifically the World Series of Poker in the summer and also the circuit events that are all across America. And both of those events, we've confirmed with a World Series spokesperson that they will be aired on the respective networks, ESPN and Versus. Like Eric said, a lot of the other shows are just going to be taken off of TV. ESPN has already removed advertising and branding from their internet site. It's just kind of everyone's just kind of trying to, wipe their hands from this and not really get involved and not draw any attention to themselves. But, Poker News is based worldwide. We're in, numerous countries all across the globe. We're very Euro-driven. So on our end, we're just business as usual.
I should add that you will not have to go cover any more NAPT events. In fact, ESPN2 was supposed to show a couple of hours of NAPT programming last night, but because of the action on Friday by the DOJ, they pulled those and put on some sort of college football challenge thing last night. And as you mentioned, ESPN is going to carry the World Series of Poker. I assume that they'll do the same number of hours. The good thing there is that ESPN never relied exclusively on Full Tilt or PokerStars for their revenue. They have such a broad base of advertisers that they can certainly keep those things on the air. But the NAPT broadcasts are gone. Full Tilt was planning the Onyx Cup, a bunch of high roller events. That's got to be dead. I assume that the Annie Duke, Jeffrey Pollock Federated Gambling Sports Poker League that they were talking about, which didn't even have a TV deal yet, that might be dead. And I would think that in part some of those things are going to be affected because people can't get their money from their online accounts in order to play these things, which leads me right to the World Series of Poker. There are events in there that are $1,000 and $1,500 events, which, you know, the weekend warriors can go play. And, of course, there's the main event, which is a 10K buy-in. But there are also all sorts of other 10K and 25K and 50K events, which are already scheduled for this year and will probably go on as scheduled. Do you see those still being on the schedule in 2012, Eric?
That's a good question. I don't, the answer is wait and see. Let's see what happens. I mean, I think the field's going to be down tremendously for, you know, across the board. Maybe not the 1500, you know, weekend events or something like that, because those aren't, you know, usually when you're way in from the sites anyways. But the larger events, I mean, I'd be surprised if there was over, you know, 5,000 people this year for the main event. I just don't think there's going to be that many, because there's not enough people satellite to make up another 3,000 people that they're losing this year. So good question. I think it's a wait and see. I don't want to speculate and say, you know, next year is going to be a lot different. Who knows? I mean, political climate could be, you know, it could change by this time next year, and it could be even bigger than, you know, it's ever been. So I just don't want to make a comment there, because I don't think I think it's too soon to make one.
All right, Donnie, you got a prediction on the main event?
I think it's going to be down probably at minimum 1,000 players, if not 2,000 players, you know, simply due to the fact that the satellite qualifiers in the U.S. won't be able to, you know, qualify in the U.S. And also because of that, the field is going to be a lot tougher without satellite qualifiers in it. So, you know, you're going to have more pros. You're going to have more people that are buying in for $10,000, and it's going to make the field tougher.
Now, you will still have people who satellited in from overseas, because in Europe, right, and Latin America and in Asia, these sites are still on out there. They're online. Party Poker as well is online and maybe sending people to the main event this year. I think the fact that you can't have as many online pros getting in there may mean that we bring up the average age of attendance. but I also wonder if you see somebody wearing a PokerStars.com patch, will that tell you that they're not from the United States?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Unless it's last year's shirt.
This is the Final Table. I'm Paul Harris, coming to you live from the feature table at Harrah's in St. Louis. We're talking about the indictments against 11 people in the online poker world last week. These are all, of course, allegations thus far. Nothing's been proven. But it did shut down the online poker world, at least for the biggest sites in America, PokerStars and Full Tilt Poker and Absolute and Ultimate Bet. We invited our listeners to send in some questions via Twitter, so let me get to those. Guy by the name of Stipe169 wants to know, how will the quality of live play be affected by that? We'll start with you, Donnie.
Well, I will say that I live in Vegas right now, and over the weekend, the live games have been, you know, they've really been picking up. A lot of online grinders live out here in Vegas, but without being able to play online for the past couple of days, they've all, you know, transitioned into live play. Now, a lot of them are making the transition, and it's a learning curve for them. So right now, the games are good. There are, you know, a lot of players that usually play online tournaments are trying to play live cash games, and, you know, there's going to be that time period where they have to adapt and they have to learn, like, a new style of play. So the games right now are great, and I also think that a lot of these players, you know, they're gonna transition to live games, you know, live events, tournaments, and cash games, and you know they're gonna have to go through this learning curve all over the place, not just in Vegas. So I think that live games will pick up in the short term, but in the long term, they're going to get a lot tougher.
Well, I'm glad to see more people sitting down in cash games anywhere, since that's where you'll find me. But I don't like the idea of it getting tougher. I think what'll be interesting, Eric, is that a lot of the online players in the last few years have been specialized in shorthanded play, six-handed or even four-handed tables or even heads-up play, which they're not going to be able to get in most American poker rooms.
Not at all. I mean, I'm actually sitting in the Aria poker room right now, and everything's spreading nine-player games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the people who specialize in shorthanded, and I actually like playing shorthanded. So that's kind of a bummer, because that was, if I specialized in any kind of game, that would be shorthanded cash play. That's what I really preferred. It's just a quicker game. It's more action. I just liked it. But, yeah, you're not going to see that. Now you're going to have to kind of grind it out here with the crowds. But it makes me feel better. The games are very soft right now. So coming down to the Aria and play.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the politics of this. And, Donnie, I'll start with you. Do you think that this could lead to Congress passing some sort of sensible legislation that regulates and licenses and taxes online poker? And if you do, how soon?
Yes, I do. But I believe that, you know, everything that's come of this, it's going to take longer than it would have before all the indictments came out, maybe, you know, even up to 2 years longer. No one on Capitol Hill, you know, likes this sort of controversy, and they're going to, you know, steer clear of it and, you know, not really try and get involved with it. So that's going to push it back. But inevitably, this is going to go to court, you know, and then I believe that all the courts will, you know, be able to see that online poker is a game of skill and not of luck, and it'll eventually get legalized.
All right, so Eric, if online poker legislation is passed, who will operate the sites? Will Full Tilt and PokerStars and the Sirius Network guys, will they ever be allowed to run sites in America again?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. It's doubtful right now that they're going to have to pay a huge fine if they're even going to be let in. What I'm kind of thinking, and, you know, and again, I could be wrong, but, you know, District of Columbia announced that the Lottery Commission was going to run the poker site there, and what, 5-6 days later, you know, there's this big indictment going on. So part of me makes me think that, is this going to be run by the, you know, by the government itself and not by, you know, the private sector or, you know, or established companies such as MGM or Harrah's and so forth. So I don't know. I see the government sees there's a lot of money to be made in poker, and it's almost like they want to keep the pie for themselves and they want to share it. I hope that's not the case. I hope I'm very, very wrong here, but it seemed like too much of a coincidence that everything happened at one time.
Now, what about the state sites? We've heard about several states trying, including Nevada, New Jersey, and California, and Iowa, and Florida, have been talking about doing intra-state sites.
Right.
What do you think of the possibilities there?
I don't know. Every time we're hopeful that something like that happens, then, you know, the rug gets pulled underneath us. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, because I am optimistic for the most part. But, you know, it just always seems like there's someone out there that just does not want poker to be legal and regulated in the United States. And when it gets really close, it seems like someone pays off someone, and then next thing you know, it's off the agenda. So, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, we've been battling this since 2006 and really been battling, you know, online gaming since, you know, 2000, when you look at when we used to be able to fund your accounts with PayPal, if you remember back in the day, when all of a sudden they went through a big credit card, fees as well. The banks because they had like a 7995 authorization code, you couldn't process. So those are things that have been going on since 2000. But in terms of this, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. It's so soon. It's so soon to really you know, say anything. And everything right now is just speculation by everybody, because we haven't even heard what's going to happen. We know that these sites have been indicted. No one's really heard any real information from them other than, yes, your money is safe. And, you know, who knows if that's true or not right now. But I think we just need to wait and see how things shake out and adjust accordingly.
This is the Final Table Poker Radio Show. Paul Harris, live at Harrah's in St. Louis, talking with Eric Morris, the publisher of Bluff Magazine, and Donnie Peters, who's the live reporting manager for PokerNews.com. Donnie, a couple of weeks ago, we heard an announcement out of Steve Wynn, who had for a long time been opposed to online poker, announcing that he had teamed up with PokerStars for what they hoped would be the launch of a co-branded site in the United States. And then the Fertitta brothers, who own the Station Casinos, announced that they were teaming up with Full Tilt Poker. Both of those agreements are canceled now, and I'm wondering if you think they will default to their old positions of being against poker legislation.
I don't think that they're going to default to their old position. I think that right now they're just kind of being neutral and, you know, let the dust settle from all of this. And, you know, one of the reasons that they backed out is, you know, much like ESPN is doing and other sites, they're just kind of staying clear of all of this, and they don't really want to get involved. I know that the Full Tilt and Station Casino deal, you know, was pending upon Full Tilt getting a gaming license in order to operate within the U.S., and, you know, now that looks very, very, like it's not going to happen. So they're just going to kind of back out, and eventually, if this all comes full circle and legislation is passed, I believe that, you know, these live venues will be the ones that are able to apply for the gaming licenses first, and, you know, they will jump back in, and they will be all for online gambling. So I think that, you know, that they won't revert to their old stance. They'll just revert to being neutral.
And, Donnie, do you think that this will be good for companies like Caesars, which is the parent company of Harrah's, or MGM Mirage?
Yes, in the long run, I do think it will be good. You know, though all those sites which are, you know, have land-based venues in the United States, you know, should be the first that will be eligible for the gaming licenses. You know, Full Tilt and Poker Stars will probably have to pay hefty penalties and then also be delayed in being able to get licenses, if ever they're allowed to get licenses within the U.S. But all these land-based casinos, you know, who already have gaming operations going on here, should be the ones that are able to get this first, if it's not, you know, done by the government, as Eric speculated earlier.
So, Eric, should we look at this as the beginning of the blackout period, which is what we were talking about during the lame duck session last December?
Well, I don't know. I think the blackout period is kind of an incorrect term, because you can still play poker in the United States on several different sites out there, so you're not blacked out from playing. You might be blacked out from playing from the, you know, three or four biggest sites out there, but you know, you're not necessarily blacked out. So I think that's kind of an incorrect term to use right now. It's just a little more difficult right now to find a good place to play on, I guess.
Would you play on any of those other sites?
Yeah, I actually play on Lock. I play on Carbon. Those are the two main sites I play on. Anyways, I mean, outside of, you know, Tilt and Stars.
Yeah, I know that Victory Poker has joined the march of people who are not allowing American players, but Bodog's business, we haven't heard Bodog's name in a couple of years. Their business was up like 25% this weekend. Can that last?
Yeah, and it's weird because they were really hurting. I mean, I think they're the other ones that I think have the most to gain right now because their processing is excellent. We actually had at our office tried to go through all the sites and see what we could get, you know, get our cards on to see what was easy to process and what wasn't, and Bodog was the easiest by far.
All right, so Donnie, we know that PokerStars has a substantial amount of their business outside the United States. Probably between 75% and 80% of their business is non-U.S. business. Less so for Full Tilt Poker and Ultimate Bet and Absolute Poker. Can those latter two companies stay in business without the worldwide exposure of a PokerStars?
Well, I think this is a good opportunity for them to, you know, beef up their worldwide exposure, and as they are backing out of the U.S. market. I think Full Tilt especially, you know, with the name that they have behind their company, they will be fine. You know, they may operate at less revenue, but they'll still be fine. With Absolute and UB, I'm not really sure. Just with everything that's been going on with them, you know, all the scandals over the past couple of years and then now this, I feel like, you know, that they're just going to end up dying out eventually, you know, with people not deciding to play on their sites, everything that's coming out about all the shadiness that kind of goes on with their companies. So I think UB and AP will definitely be the ones that die out, if any of them die out. But I believe Full Tilt will be fine.
Sounds like a good case of good timing for Annie Duke and Phil Hellmuth, who parted ways with that company just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, I don't know where they're going to end up. It's still up in the air. But Annie Duke has, you know, the Federations League going on. And that, right now, we haven't heard anything, but it seems like it could still happen. It's not based off, you know, online poker. It's based off a live poker and, like, a ranking system. So that could really take off. And Phil Hellmuth seems to be, you know, the most eligible free agent out there now. And you know, he could land with one of these land-based casinos.
All right, now I've got to ask you about one other pro here, because a press release came out yesterday, and I'm sure both of you saw this, that Jamie Gold, who won the main event of the World Series of Poker in 2006, has agreed to a sponsorship deal. He's never worn a patch. He's always worn the hat of his own production company, never been with Tilt or Stars or UB or anybody else. But he's now signed with something called the Poker Pros Network, ppnpoker.com. Either of you know what that is and what that's going to be?
Yes, it's a site on the Cake Poker Network. But let me take a step back. That Jamie Gold was sponsored by Bodog, and then he was sponsored again by a short-lived site called Aced.com. So has had sponsorships in the past.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the correction there. So what is this? And how about, you know, Friday, we see the shutdown of all these other online sites. Monday, Jamie's got an endorsement deal with something we've never heard of.
I've actually heard them. They've been advertising with us for a little bit. They are a current advertiser with us. They've kind of got, I guess you can say, fringe players on there, you know, people who are, you know, wouldn't be necessarily the big names out there. They're small, the smaller name type of pros, like the Kenna James and people like that. But yeah, Jamie Gold's probably their best well-known player. They also have TJ Cloutier, who's one of their pros. And they came from a network where they were their own, I guess they're their own network originally on some really bad software. And they couldn't make it because the software was bad. I mean, it was just horrible. And what happens is every pro that they had, you know, had their own kind of room where you could play in like the Kenna James room or whatever room, Jennifer Cox room, who's known as Jan Brady from the Brady Bunch movie. She's one of their celebrity pros, I guess you can say.
Uh-huh.
Now it's on Cake. Hopefully this will give the Cake a little bit of a boost because with everybody leaving Cake, I mean, Cake's got to be happy no matter what, because from what I understand, they weren't doing very well at all. And this has got to give them a huge shot in the arm. And they're probably the people that are stand the most to gain, to be quite honest.
All right. To wrap things up, the U.S. Attorney's Office has filed civil suits against all of these people who have been indicted. They're seeking $3 billion in damages. I think a billion and a half of that is from Starz and lesser amounts for the other companies. And the defendants here, the six defendants who are the heads of the three online poker operations, they're facing up to 30 years in prison and $1 million in fines. I am going to ask you to make a wild prediction here, just like I did for the main event of the World Series of Poker. What happens with the fines, and do any of these people actually end up in jail? Donnie.
I do not believe that anyone will end up in jail, but I do believe that hefty fines will be paid, probably, you know, in the sum of total a couple $1 million. I mean, they have to pay their debts. You know, back to when Party Poker had their whole ordeal, they had to pay something like $300 million to the government in a settlement. So I think the fines are going to be paid, but I do not think anyone will do jail time. You know, I think that the court system will eventually see that poker is a game of skill and it should be legalized in the U.S., and that's why they won't do the jail time.
What do you think, Eric?
Well, I think the only way that someone will, there'll be anyone arrested, actually, is if they turn themselves in just to kind of make a stand. And basically be the voice for, you know, for the people, so to speak. That's the only way I see anyone, you know, getting arrested. In terms of money that's being paid out, billions. I mean, Poker Starz, everybody knows how Poker Starz is billions of dollars. Full Tilt, I think what they showed a profit of $500 million last year. So, you know, you're going to see some hefty fines paid. Yeah. How much, I don't know, but I don't necessarily think anyone's going to go to jail over this. Unless they voluntarily turn themselves in.
All right, one last tweet question from Don2321. How come Howard Lederer, the most powerful person in poker, isn't one of the indictees?
Because Howard Lederer, on paper, is not the owner of Full Tilt Poker. He's a spokesperson for Full Tilt Poker.
There you go, Don. There's your answer. Guys, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you very much for your expertise.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks for having us.
Eric Morris, the publisher of Bluff Magazine, Donnie Peters, who's the manager of live reporting for PokerNews.com, two other members of the media who will be impacted but not put out of business by this decision by the Department of Justice on Friday to indict 11 people, including six people who are the heads of the three biggest online poker sites in America. They have been charged with laundering money and defrauding banks to circumvent U.S. gambling laws. And, of course, these are all allegations. I need to repeat that on the advice of my lawyer, who, by the way, will be joining us in just a moment here. His name is Josh Schindler, an attorney here in St. Louis who knows quite a bit about the inside workings of the poker business, so we'll get into that in a moment. In the world of poker, there are still brick-and-mortar casinos like the one I'm sitting in right now, Harrah's St. Louis, which was recently host to the 2011 World Series of Poker Circuit event, most popular poker tournaments in the history of Missouri. And that's one thing that I think needs to be said. Poker is not dead. the number of entrants in circuit events, and also in the rival WPT events, like at the Hollywood Casino outside of Cincinnati, and there's one now going on soon in Miami. The number of entrants in those things has been increasing. People buying into the $300 and $500 events or playing in the evening after work for $120, like we had here for 11 straight days, the 7 o'clock events every night. So there's been a tremendous number of people who have been coming out and playing live poker, and you can still do that. All sorts of live cash games are being spread, and Harrah's has 14 tournaments a week, including the qualifiers for the World Series of Poker main event. We had four of them this past weekend. I played in two of them and unfortunately didn't get past the first table of the double table shootout, but you'll have more chances to do it next month. In fact, on four different days, on four different weekend days in the month of May, you can come out here, and for a $200 buy-in, you win your table, you go to the final table. You beat that table, and you've got to package the $10,000 buy-in of the main event of the World Series of Poker. This is how Dennis Phillips got his start right here in our town, and there are more chances for you to do that. And even if you don't have the bankroll for a $200 buy-in, they've got them at the $60 level and everywhere in between. For the full schedule, go to harrahs.com/STL poker. That's harrahs.com/STL poker. Harrah's St. Louis, one of the sponsors of the Final Table Poker Radio Show here on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com, with our podcasts on iTunes and on thechipleader.com.
Kits, does your granny lend you money? Well, this granny does. And right now, calling 800-GRANNY-8 will get you $50,000 for just $238 per month. Call 800-GRANNY-8. Get a low fixed rate and take a three-month payment break. That's 90 payment-free days to get your finances straight. Our customers are saving hundreds per month, and our friendly loan officers make it easy. Call 800-GRANNY-8 or apply online at granny8.com.
Great mortgage rates, call 800-GRANNY-8.
When Black Friday comes, I'm gonna stick my granny. I guess I changed my mind.
Black Friday hit the online poker world last Friday when the U.S. Attorney, the Department of Justice, filed indictments against 11 people, including six people who are the heads of Poker Stars and Full Tilt Poker and Absolute Poker, as well as a banker and other people involved in payment processing. They claim that these people laundered money and defrauded banks to circumvent U.S. gambling laws. They are facing $3 billion in damages and jail time of up to 30 years in prison and $1 million in fines. Here to talk about the legal side of this and perhaps a little bit more is my friend Josh Schindler, an attorney from right here in St. Louis, the poker lawyer. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Fine, Paul. How's it going?
That's okay. When we talk about things like the financial crisis brought on by the Wall Street banks or other white-collar crimes, we can identify who the victims are. I don't understand who the victims are here, and if this is bank fraud, who was defrauded?
Well, you know, Paul, it's an interesting question because when I looked at the indictments and I've spent a little bit of time, I don't see who the victim is. If you assume we live in a paternalistic society where they tell everybody what to do and I'm not allowed to decide how to spend my money, then I guess in that sort of society, we're the victims. I don't believe in that society, and I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest with you, that under the Obama administration that this would happen. As you recall, when the UIGEA came out, this was a creature of the Bush administration. So if this had happened under another administration, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be as surprised. The fact that Obama now wants to take the right of me, I think Barney Frank used the phrase, to sit in my underwear and play poker on a computer and take it away from me, I'm just absolutely shocked. So to answer your question, there is no victim here, unless, of course, you assume that I'm incapable of making decisions on how to spend my money.
Congressman Barney Frank, the former chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, said in an interview with The Hill yesterday that this is an incredible waste of resources. He said, go after the people responsible for empty houses, not full houses. I'm not saying violate the law, but to give this priority in law enforcement over some other things, I think is a terrible idea, and I think the administration is wrong on this. So he's calling them out just as you are, and that leads me back to a central question, which is, why are they pressing this case? And do you think the Department of Justice is overreaching?
Well, you know, let me go back to the statement of Bonnie Frank for a minute. What have we seen out of the Southern District of New York as far as prosecuting Wall Street, who has absolutely allowed the real estate market in the United States to be decimated? We have a prosecutor who is sitting here who should go after Wall Street. They've not only destroyed the economy for me and probably my children, but it's beginning to look like the economy was destroyed for my children's children. So the first thing that begs the question is, forget overreaching for a minute. Look in your own backyard. How far does the U.S. attorney have to go to walk to Wall Street and see the people who stole money, who ended up basically selling lock, stock, and barrel huge amounts of real estate with absolutely no value, knowing it had no value, and they've gotten away from it? So the first thing I have a fundamental problem with is, let's go after the people who have decimated our economy, the people on Wall Street. These are the sort of cases where, you know, people who believe in their own fundamental rights, it makes their blood boil. And I got to tell you, Obama's got enough problems without going after the very people. And by the way, Paul, we're talking 5 to 10 million Americans who want to play poker. We are talking literally thousands of poker people who are now out of work today. And I heard your previous callers that people will flock to other sites. But some of these people don't have the money because the government has tied up their money to go to other sites. So
right,
to begin...
That leads right into the question that I'm getting from a lot of players who have played, and it's not just 22 and 23-year-old guys who've been playing since they were in high school, but, you know, middle-aged guys who play with a few dollars here. Maybe they're buying into an $11 tournament online or whatever it is, and they've got some money in their account. How do they get that money off, Josh?
Well, and this is, I can't remember whether, I think it was Eric who said, you know, he anticipates that this could be 6 or 8 months. Right now, I believe, and I believe this to be true. I've heard both Full Tilt and Poker Stars say that they want to get the money back from these accounts to the players. And I believe that that is absolutely correct. The problem right now is, what will the U.S. Attorney's Office do if they try to return the money? These are people who have been subject to an indictment. So whatever move they make will be subject to review later as possible other allegations of crime. So right now, if I were advising Full Tilt or Poker Stars, I would say, look, you can't return the money. You have to coordinate with the U.S. Attorney's Office. And I do know that the PPA is looking at this issue, but I will tell you, 8 months, 12 months, it could be longer. This problem, by the way, could be solved relatively quickly. I'm willing, on behalf of the players, if the PPA would designate me, to go to New York to meet with the U.S. Attorney's Office and basically say, look, regardless of what you think these poker sites did, wouldn't you agree that the money should be returned to the players? And how can we go about effectuating that as quickly as possible? Let us not forget, these are American citizens whose money is being held because of the Obama administration's action. And Paul, let's not make a mistake. The Attorney General is in the Obama administration, and the Barrera responds to that. So one of the things I call immediately on the administration is to get a meeting in New York, and let's figure out how to get the poker players' money back so that they don't have to wait 8 months, they don't have to wait 10 months. And that's something that should be done absolutely immediately without any haste whatsoever. Let's get the meeting this week or next week. There is absolutely no reason why there should be delay.
Can poker players who play online and have money online, can they be considered a large enough group to turn this into a class action suit against the government?
Well,
or against the sites?
It's very interesting because, Paul, there are two parallel things going on. First of all, there's the criminal indictment, but there's also a civil forfeiture. There is an interesting legal question whether they have the right to intervene in the civil forfeiture matter. And frankly, I've been in contact with a friend of mine in New York, and I'm having a discussion with him tomorrow. Is there a way to protect the players? And to me, that comes before anything else. Before you discuss the indictments, before you discuss whether it will be jail time or whether it will be fines and how much the fines will be and will they ever be allowed to come, Poker Stars full tilt, will they ever be allowed to come back to the United States? This, to me, is the absolute critical issue because there's hundreds of millions of dollars sitting overseas where the person says, I want to send it back, and the only people who are standing in the way of the money being returned is the United States government.
Okay, so that they can't return it to the people in the United States because of the banking laws, and it would have to go through a U.S. bank. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, there's nothing stopping somebody from moving to Canada or Mexico or another country, establishing residency there, opening up a bank account, and getting a check or making a transfer that way. In the meantime, is the money in those accounts at Stars and Tilt and AP and UB, are they safe? Or can the U.S. government reach across the oceans to the Isle of Man and Costa Rica and say, you know what, we're going to freeze that money and nobody can touch it?
Well, let me tell you that their first action, and I don't know if you noticed this, but not only did they freeze the assets of 76 banks, but those banks were located in 14 countries. So the United States absolutely has the power to reach across the aisle and get the money. Now, the real question is where these countries are located, would such a request be honored by the United States? But here, you know, while the United States government could take the position that when a player transferred the money to Poker Stars and Full Tilt, that suddenly they can have that money, I would be really shocked if the Obama administration would take the tact of taking players' money that is essentially being held in trust for them at the various poker companies. I will tell you that if the Obama administration does that and seizes, remember, there were 5 to 10 million players who were playing, many of which only have $10, $12, $13, some of which you mentioned have hundreds of thousands. There's been rumors that one guy has a million. But can you imagine how this 5 to 10 million voting Americans would take it if the United States government attempted to take their money? First of all, Obama said the other day that the one thing he misses is time alone, and one of the reasons he likes golf is because he gets 5 hours alone. Let me assure you of this. If the government seizes 5 to 10 million poker players' money, I can guarantee you 2 years from now, Obama loses every one of those votes, and he increases the likelihood that he'll have more time alone. I don't think that, by the way, I don't think that the Attorney General's office is out to take this money. The Barrera, I don't know him, but he's a bright sword. He went to Harvard, highly educated, actually seems like an extremely likable guy. I frankly don't think that that's his intent at all. And that would be the one thing that would shock me out of this whole thing is if the Attorney General's office went after this money, Paul. That would be and Eric Holden, hold it, same exact thing. I mean, this is not the intent here. Let's get the money to the players. Number one, I know PPA's working on it. Let's get them their money back.
All right, this is the Final Table Poker Radio Show. Paul Harris sitting in Harris, St. Louis, talking with Attorney Josh Schindler about the fallout from the online poker shutdown that took place last Friday after the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York issued indictments against the heads of the three biggest poker sites, as well as some people involved in payment processing. Let's talk from the litigation side of this, Josh. Do the defendants, the guys who ran Poker Stars and Full Tilt Poker and Absolute Poker and continue to do so elsewhere in the world, do they have a case here against these money laundering and bank fraud charges?
Oh, well, you mean does the government have a case or do they have the defense is the real issue?
Either side.
Well, first of all, I go back to Eric, and Eric mentioned the use of the word that these guys were reckless. First of all, I'd like to make it abundantly clear, these are just allegations. And even lawyers, by the way, when they see the indictment, one of my office share, you know, they immediately assume that the person is guilty of the allegations. Otherwise, why would the U.S. attorney bring the charges? And there's an old expression in the legal world that if you wanted to indict, you know, if a prosecutor wanted to indict a ham sandwich, he could. So I really start at the very beginning by cautioning everybody against looking at the allegations in the complaint and immediately assuming them to be true. This case is fundamentally, I think, the linchpin of the case boils down to whether poker is gambling. And there are numerous statutes that frankly come into play. We've all heard of the UIGEA. The government actually refers it to the UIGIEA, you know, the Unlawful Internet Gambling and Enforcement Act. And there were numerous elements that you have to satisfy, and you have to satisfy all three elements before these guys can be found guilty. But, you know, the principal issue is this a game of chance or a game of skill? And I personally think, given how poorly I play poker, and Paul, you know that better than most, I can tell you that it's a game of skill, either that or I've got the worst luck known to man. And Paul, I don't think I'm lying when I tell you that when I, you know, when I go to the poker room in Harrah's, or since you're at Harrah's, I use Harrah's as an example, that immediately everybody texts and says Schindler's in the room, and immediately the poker room goes to double its capacity, you know, double the amount of players it had before. So if I'm any example, clearly this is a game of skill. Also, there were other elements of the act. So I think that they've got a legitimate chance of fighting these charges, and I think ultimately if it were ever tried, they would probably win. The problem is the pressure, Paul, that the government puts on you.
By blocking U.S. players after the indictments came down on Friday, are Poker Stars and Full Tilt admitting that they knew they were doing something wrong, Josh?
No, absolutely the opposite. I don't know if you remember, Paul, but Washington State, basically, there was a finding, you know, that the actions were, that poker was illegal in Washington State. And yep. I don't know if you recall, but both Poker Stars and Full Tilt said, now that there's a finding, we're going to pull out of Washington State. So I think that, and again, I can't speak for either of them, but they've shown that if there is a finding by someone that poker is illegal, they will honor the rule of law. What I'm really troubled about is that once this indictment was handed down, and imagine how quickly they had to react. They both, Full Tilt and Poker Stars, said that they were going to honor, until the indictment was resolved, they were going to honor it and withdraw from the site. Why then did the U.S. Attorney's Office and the government feel they needed to seize the site? There can only be one natural answer. It was a publicity show, nothing more. It is, by the way, the farthest thing from an admission of guilt. If you believe that you are right on the law, but yet the Department of Justice indicts you, the appropriate thing at that point is to withdraw. But I am, and I say this to you, Paul, this needs to be resolved now, okay? And this thing could take years to run its course. We have the legislature that is addressing this issue both on the state level and the federal level. And I think it's incumbent on the Obama administration to recognize that we have cost people, this action of the government has cost thousands, if not tens of thousands of people their job and millions of people their hobbies. And by the way, people, for example, with disabilities that can't get out, who play a penny, two pennies, you know, this is the way of entertainment. So you've really decimated a huge segment of American society. The correct result is to get all the players together and let's come to a resolution on a global, the criminal, the politicians, let's get it done. And this is where Obama can really show leadership.
I've only got 30 seconds. Is this the end of online poker's chance to get legalized? And if you think it will eventually get legalized, meaning regulated, licensed, and taxed, what's the timeline for that?
Well, it now the players have changed. Steve Wynn, who was in favor, now that he doesn't have a partner in Europe, does he say, I'm going to take my toys away? It changes the whole dynamic. So I think, first of all, we've got to figure out who's on the board, who's playing. I do think we've got to get a resolution to the criminal case so we can deal with Poker Stars in full tilt. I could see this as a further delay. I thought it was 18 months that we'd have it legalized last month. I think it could be much more time. I think this absolutely muddies the water unless Obama does the right thing.
Josh Schindler, attorney right here in St. Louis, in Clayton, Missouri, to be specific. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
You find Josh online at SchindlerLitigation.com. That's all we have for the final table today. Remember, you can get our podcasts on thechipleader.com. If you've missed any of our previous 115 shows, every single one of our guests is listed on the right-hand side of that page. You can go back and listen to them or subscribe via iTunes and get them downloaded automatically. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Harrah's for continuing to be our home. And we'll see you next week for another edition of the Final Table Poker Radio Show on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.